News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So we're going to walk through some election stuff. Number one of the Triple Dipper, election hangover. Oh, man. I mean, last night I worked on this show because I knew I had some things this morning that I had to do. Otherwise, I did a lot of my show prep last night. And I told Charlene, I said, I was like up to midnight because I was on with Jeff Poor. I was on here with Yaffe. And then I also was working on some of the pieces of the resourcing for the show. But the reason why it took me so long was not because resourcing is so hard. It was because I kept flipping over to the race results, trying to keep track and see where we were. And so I decided to name this part of the Triple Dipper the Election Night Hangover. It ain't because everybody's out drinking. It's because, good Lord, we're all exhausted from watching this happen. And I don't know. I mean, there's probably a lot of y'all out there that are not, you know, political junkies. You care, but it's not like you're sitting around examining the details every day. So I guess in some ways that makes me like, what do they call them? Wonk. I'm a wonk. I'm a politics wonk or something anyway. But the bottom line is I'm in the weeds, man. I'm looking at it going, this is crazy. Why about this one? And who's in a runoff and where are they? So here's the thing. I said on the show multiple times, especially yesterday, got to get out and vote, man. Every vote counts. Every vote counts. And I know that sometimes when you see a race that's, you know, from a big city, you think, just one more vote. Well, let me tell you something. A while back, I was dealing with an election integrity issue when I was in the state Senate, and we were passing the bill to do photo IDs, which we now have, which, by the way, has been very successful. But we were working on that, and I had some liberal taking me to task. I think I said this on the show before, but I had some liberal taking me to task on an email. And they were like, you know, this, or maybe it was Twitter. But anyway, you know, it's just like, you call it election integrity and all this, but there's nothing out there that really rates what y'all are doing and yada, yada. And I said, well, you know what? The smallest city in my district, smallest town in my district was the town of Ridgeville. And in the last mayoral election before that email that I sent that day, I said, in the last mayoral election, the mayor won by a vote of 19-12. And I am pretty sure that election integrity mattered even at that level. And it's true. It doesn't matter what level you're on. The one person, one vote, the one vote should count. Well, the one vote does count, especially when you consider two of the races we got right now. Folks, listen, I'm just telling you, we've got two races in this state right now that are hinging on just a few votes. Let me find my resource on this one. So the first one I'll tell you about is kind of shocking. State Senator Tom Whatley. Well, Whatley has been, and I know Whatley quite well. We got elected at the same time. He was a Democrat. He switched to Republican. In the Republican wave, he got elected in 2010 to the state Senate. He is now the chair of Judiciary, Senate Judiciary Committee, which is, I would say, is probably the third or fourth. Well, when you count Rules Committee and the two budget committees, I would say Judiciary is the fourth most powerful committee in the state Senate. I used to be the vice chair for Judiciary, and now Whatley is the chairman for Judiciary. Whatley, Senator Tom Whatley, down in Lee County, Auburn. He's from Auburn. Down in Lee County right now is literally it's too close to count. A competitor, a guy named Jay Hovey, who was on the city council. Jay Hovey is within five votes. And I'm just telling you, it's five votes, folks, in an entire state Senate race, a multi-county race, tens of thousands of voters in that race. Five votes. Whatley spent $1.2 million defending his seat. Hovey only had $94,000. Hovey is within five votes. And we're going to have to wait and see. We'll find out. The other one is right here in the listening area, State House District 2. Ben Harrison is in front in State House District 2. I believe this is the one to replace Representative Greer. He's in first place, but there's going to be a runoff. But right now they don't know who's in second place because second place is only separated by five votes. So right now, Jason Black and Kimberly Butler are both running against Ben Harrison. Ben Harrison's in the runoff. He does not know who his opponent yet is because five votes in that whole state house race. Hey, let me go to the phones real quick. I see I've got somebody on line five. Line five, is it Allie or Ali, I'm not sure which, from Athens. How you doing?
It's Allie.
Hey,
short
Allie.
For Alice.
Thanks for calling. What's
Hi
on
there.
Your mind?
Well, I was in Iraq working MWR
when
you were in Iraq.
Yeah.
And I was there for all three elections.
Mm.
And what I saw that changed me forever, and I still can't talk about it dry-eyed, was people who were willing to die in order to vote. And
literally.
Especially the January 2005 election, al-Zarqawi promised a bloodbath if people voted. And that was when the Iraqis dipped their fingers in purple dye to show that they had voted, and they were thus sealing potentially their own deaths. And so I was on Rodwania, and what we did was we dyed our fingers purple as well to show solidarity with the Iraqis. And so 44 people died in order to cast a vote. There was a woman who was 94 years old and couldn't walk, and she was taken to the polling place in a wheelbarrow so that she could vote. There were other people who purchased their coffins in case they died that day. And so, like I said, I can't talk about it dry-eyed. It changed me forever. I wrote about it in the book, but that's not the purpose of my call. Our votes are purchased with blood, just like our salvation is, and we need to honor, get off our keisters, and go vote, even if it's inconvenient, because there are people who would give anything to have the opportunity to do so.
Mm. Wow. Allie. Okay. I'm going to have a hard time getting through today's show, I can already tell.
I had a hard time listening to you, and if you ever want to hear more Iraqi stories and having the chance to lead Sunnis to Christ and one getting baptized in the Aussie pool on Victory, I'm your gal. Just call me in. I'd be glad to come and fill you with stories. I saw amazing things in Iraq that changed me forever.
Allie, don't hang up. I want you to give your contact information to Copper so that that I can touch base later on, because it sounds like you've got some amazing stories to tell. And thank you for that.
To the glory of God. Thanks, Phil. You're doing a wonderful job.
Hey, thanks, Allie. Thank you very much.
As often as I possibly can.
Well, I appreciate that very much. All right, Allie, you hang on the line. Copper's going to get your calling information. Folks, I'm telling you, I got the best audience. I got the best audience in the world. Don't anybody try to tell me different. I've got the best audience in the world. Freaking the best audience in the world. I could literally be sitting here talking into this microphone all day long, and it would not matter if I didn't have the best audience in the world. This is why I do this stuff. And this is why, by the way, the show is expanding, which I hope to make a pretty cool announcement sometime soon. But just understand this. I do not take this for granted. Wow. What a cool call. All right, listen, there's a whole lot going on. How am I going to get through this triple dipper today? I got so much stuff. All right, listen, some of the things you might want to know, though. I had a friend, you know, it's funny to me because I had a friend who called me earlier. And he goes, hey, man, tell me how the elections broke down yesterday. And I'm thinking, you don't know? Like, how do you not know? Well, because not everybody turns on the TV or digs into the internet or follows the elections like we do. But nonetheless, there's been some amazing things that have happened. Number one, I will go ahead and eat crow. I did not think that Governor Ivey was going to get away without a runoff. And I'll be honest with you, I felt like she deserved a runoff. And yet she pulled it out. I think she had 54.5%. I've got the numbers here somewhere in my stack of stuff, but yes, Governor Kay Ivey, 54.4%. So 54.4%, Governor Kay Ivey goes into another term. Well, she has a Democrat opponent, but she's going to make it. There hasn't been a Democrat governor in, Lord, Sigelman, I guess, was the last one. So good luck to the Democrats, but it's not going to happen. So it's going to wind up being Kay Ivey. At that point, she will be set a record for the very first ever woman to be reelected. That's it, because she'll be the first woman ever reelected to governor in the state of Alabama, and she will also be the longest-serving woman in the governor's office ever. Lurleen Wallace was the one prior to her. So that happened. Then you have, of course, the other races that I did say. I was on the record. I said we're going to have runoffs going to be the word of the day. Well, runoffs are everywhere. Runoffs are all over the place. June is going to be a month full of people still telling you about their campaign because the runoffs are everywhere, and not the least of which is our U.S. Senate race. So Katie Britt did come out stronger than I expected, stronger than a lot of people expected. She had roughly 44%, I believe. Let me grab my numbers again here. So here's my magic sheet. Katie Britt, yes, indeed. She had 44.7%. Mo Brooks in second with 29.1%. Mike Durant finished at 23.3%. He conceded last night. Now, Mike Durant has said he intends to throw his weight now behind Mo Brooks. I'll be honest with you, if that happens, Katie Britt's got her hands full. Because I do think that Brooks and Durant probably split some of the North Alabama vote. And if you add their numbers together, right there, you've got 52%, not including what went to Jake Schaefer, Carla DePriest, and Lily Bodie. So there's some percentages out there that were not Katie Britt's that may now create some issues for her. It's going to be a race, folks. So there's that one. The other two that I predicted, one was state auditor, and it was slightly different than what I expected. I expected it to be Andrew Sorrell and Rusty Glover. It's Andrew Sorrell and Stan Cook. So Andrew Sorrell, Stan Cook in a runoff for state auditor, both in the 30s. And then the other one that I did also predict was Congressional District 5, right here in our district, right here in our listening area. Dale Strong and Casey Wardinsky. We had good showings in double digits from John Roberts and Paul Sanford. We also had Andy Blaylock at 5.5%. But the real story was Dale Strong had 44 and Casey Wardinsky had 23. We now have to see that go to a runoff. So I predicted four runoffs. We got three of the ones that I predicted. But Lord, there's a whole bunch of other down ballot runoffs that are all over the state, all over the state. All right, Copper, go ahead and move us to a break. We'll take that break right now. We'll come back in a few minutes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. Whole lot more where that came from. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Oh, hey, Copper, by the way, I got that information off the board. You can take that down. Thank you so much. So folks, listen, coming up top of the hour, Jeff Poore is going to be on, talk politics with us. I've not even scratched the surface, man. I got a stack of stuff. Not the least of which is the article I was just referencing a moment ago, written by Jeff Poore on 1819 News. And I'll tell you right now, if you have not checked them out, you got to. 1819 News, that's 1819news.com. They're a bunch of folks over there who love Alabama, but who also love good reporting. And what we're not seeing in other places, like we're not seeing, I call it the skew and the spew. Like literally, you read a story and you realize, oh, they're trying to steer me toward their conclusion. That's called editorializing. Editorializing, it should not be in the midst of reporting, and yet at 1819 News, they don't do it. Their job is just to call the balls and strikes. Sometimes they might even make a conservative mad, but it's okay. It's real news. But they are a bunch of good folks who love the state. They write stories, too, that also, you know, make you proud to be an Alabamian. So check them out, 1819news.com. It's 1819news.com, a great resource that I use quite often. I just had a text regarding the Beto O'Rourke thing. You know, I got people that listen in from all over, and I just had one text from out of state that said, Beto is the white Al Sharpton. He feeds on tragedies such as this like a vulture on roadkill. And that is such an accurate description. That is epically well put. All right, listen, moving through some things about the elections. Stuff you gotta know. So first of all, I'll be curious to see, I'll tell you what I'm looking to see now is what happens when Mike Durant catches his breath, gets a little time for, you know, what the Army would call crew rest, and he says he's going to wind up throwing all of his weight behind Mo Brooks in the runoff for against Katie Britt. And I'll be honest with you, the negative campaigning, I don't think there was too light of a turnout yesterday. It was lighter than anticipated, but it was not too light. I actually texted with Secretary of State John Merrill yesterday afternoon, and I got his text back right after I got off the show. But he said that at somewhere around 4, they had already seen that they were at 23% voter turnout. I'm not sure what the final numbers were, but it was not too far off the mark they had expected. That being said, the voter turnout for the runoff is probably going to be a little bit lighter, although I think it's going to be higher up here. I saw where Dale Jackson, credit where credit's due, and I'll ask Jeff Porry's opinion on this later. I saw where Dale Jackson said that he's anticipating that the fact that we now have a congressional runoff and a U.S. Senate runoff in North Alabama means that there will be a higher turnout in North Alabama, which may wind up benefiting Brooks in the push for U.S. Senate. We'll see. I'm not a statistician. I tend to put, a lot of stock in that kind of thing, though, and I recognize that, yeah, that could very well be. I said yesterday that I thought that North Alabama was going to be huge, and North Alabama was. But coming up, we've got Mike Durant says he's going to be getting behind Mo Brooks, because he believes that he was literally done wrong by the Katie Britt campaign. I mean, Katie Britt's campaign was, they were ruthless. They wanted to say up front, oh, we're just scared about the things that are being said by Club for Growth. You know, that just stop it. Stop pouting. You're out there trying to tear down people's families and having, you know, articles written about, you know, somebody's military service or trying to paint Mo Brooks as not being conservative when he's a member of the Freedom Caucus, for crying out loud. Anyway, all that to say, it's going to be interesting to see, but I think we got big doings coming up in that runoff. And then you've got Casey Wardinsky, Dale Strong. You know, part of me looks at this and says, okay, Dale Strong, obviously very popular, chairman of the county commission, been working in an area, that has given him the opportunity to have his hand on a great deal of what has made growth happen in this area, but yet Casey Wardinsky brings in a different resume, but certainly one of leadership. I look at it, though, and I realize that whereas Casey Wardinsky has been a public figure, he's not been an elected figure, but yet Dale Strong has, but yet Dale Strong didn't get over 50%. So I examine that just in my own mind. I'm thinking, Dale Strong may have his hands full, because Dale Strong was not the incumbent, but Dale Strong was a longtime elected official who still didn't get over 50% despite having countywide name ID. That's interesting. So you've got votes that went for Andy Blaylock, votes that went for Paul Sanford, and votes that went for John Roberts that now have to decide what they're going to do with Casey Wardinsky and Dale Strong. I'm suggesting to you that probably a lot of those who didn't vote for Wardinsky and Strong are going to wind up voting for Wardinsky, because Strong was already somebody who was known for being an elected official, and they didn't vote for him yet. Interesting. All right. Listen, we got a news break. We'll come right back. Talk with Jeff Poor, who is he's a guru on this kind of stuff. We'll see what he has to say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.